Okay, let's get started. Whoever comes. But it says my internet connection is unstable. Can everybody hear me? Get like a thumbs up. We can. Okay, is Ahava saying we're good? Okay, awesome. If there are any connection issues, please unmute yourself and let me know or put in the chat. Again, if you have any questions throughout the entire shiur, feel free to unmute yourself and ask any questions. Or if you don't want to, you want to ask on the chat, that's also okay too. And we'll make sure we kind of check in on the chat as we go. Tonight's shiur and the next two shiurim that, God willing, we'll be doing together are going to be focused on Hilchos Purim. So tonight we're going to be dealing with Mishloach Manos. It happens to be it's a pretty fun shiur, not just because it's relevant and you know it's good, but there's a Gishmak Chakira. There's like a lot to sink our teeth into. So let's jump right in with the halacha. The story is defined. I think there are two different ways to do this shiur. We can't do both of them, so I'm only going to pick one. But hopefully it'll be all right. Hopefully I'll make the right decision. We're going to start with the halacha first, and then after the halacha, maybe we'll take a step back and go with like a more meta question with regards to Mishloach Manos. Okay, so let's jump right in. The halacha tells us the following. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Or HaChaim Siman Tav Reish Tzadi Hei, Se'if Dalid, Chayiv Lishloach Lechaviru Shtei Manos, Basar Oshel Minei Acholim. Each person is obligated to send to his friend Shtei Manos, two food items, we'll call it. The Mechaber says basar, o shalmine acholim, or other types of foods. Shneamar u'mishloach manos ish l'rei ehu, shtei manos l'ish echad. V'chol hamar b'lishloach l'rei ehim, mishubach. And if you do more, then that's great. So we have an obligation to send two manos to one friend, right? We'll talk about matanos l'avyonim next week, which are, you know, we have to find two aniyim to give money to. But for mishloach manos, it's two manos to one person. And then the Mechaber tells us, and the more the merrier, right? Anyone who sends more, harei zem mishubach. Now it's interesting, the Levush, one of the commentaries, tells us that manos means food, right? We're going to see later on, there's some people who want to say that maybe you can give clothing, or you can give a gift, or something else. But manos means food, that's his first point on the Shulchan Aruch. And then number two, he says, the foods should be foods that allow a person to have oneg and simcha on Purim. Right? They should be things that you can actually get a geshmak from on the yontif itself. They should enhance our yontif. Based on that lavush, right? Let's say like this. Let's ask it the other way. When I say kol hamarbe lishloach l'reihem mishubach, so what does that mean? The more the merrier. So what would you say if I just said the more the merrier, the more mishloach manos you send, the better it is? So my knee-jerk reaction would have been, the more people you send to, the better it actually is. But based on the lavush, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky points out in his Sefer Kovetz Halachos on Hilchos Purim, he says that's actually referring to the amount that you're providing your friend. Meaning if you give a lot, instead of just giving, I don't know, you want to give a person a bagel, I don't know, let's say two slices of bread and a package of deli, right? So you're Yotze, so maybe instead of giving two slices of bread, you're giving them a whole loaf of bread, right? Or a nice, I don't know, a Kaiser roll or whatever. I don't know, I don't want to say rye bread. My wife's going to get upset at me because she thinks she's not into that, let's say. We'll leave it at that, right? So you give the Kaiser, when you go to Romanian, right? And you can get the salami sandwich. That's one of the hidden deals in the entire city. I don't know if people know this, right? As a New Yorker, I feel like coming in, telling you what to get at Romanian is like ridiculous. But I think I've been to the Cubs games with my brothers-in-law, and they say we got to stop at Romanian on the way to the game. And they say the best deal in the entire city are salami sandwiches at Romanian. It's like $3 for a nice sandwich you got on the way to the Cubs game, right? So you, instead of just getting two slices of rye bread and a little bit of deli, you get a whole nice geshmaka roll and you get a whole pack of meat or you get a whole entire salami. Harezim Meshubach, the more the merrier, it's gevaldik. That would be the Levush's understanding of the Mechaber. However, the Rambam comes along and the Rambam seems to really imply that that's not the case. The Rambam tells us that the Kavana, or really the Rambam explains that the Reboy is on the Reim, meaning how many people are you sending to? You're not just sending it to one person, right? We said Lishloach Lechaviro. No. The more you can spread the wealth, the more you can connect to, the more Jews you can connect to, the better it is, and that's Harezim Meshubach. So again, two different ideas of looking at the Meshubach, what is the Shevach, how do you kind of beautify and enhance the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? That's point number one. Point number two, the items need to be two separate items, but, and this, I don't know where this came from, honestly, but they do not have to be separate brachos. That is a misconception. I feel like that's like a good myth if you're giving a Shavuos night shiur and you talk about like top 10 halachic myths. I feel like having two brachos, two separate and distinct brachos from Mishloach Manos, that is a myth. That is not true. And how do we know that it's not true? What's the greatest proof of all time? So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch in telling us what the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is, Shtei Manos Basar. you're allowed to send two types of meat to a person, shahako, both ways, and that's going to be totally okay. You can send two mizonoses, and that's okay as well. Right? It's pashut based on the Rambam, and really before the Rambam, the Gemara, that you have to send two manos, right? Where the different amoram were sending meat and wine or dates and other sorts of flour or you know, egozim, something like that. But two pieces of the same meat, that would not be okay. Meaning, if you send two salamis, that would be a problem. Two briskets, two roasts, whatever. I don't know, whatever you send. Two Oreos, I don't know. Two cookies. It has to be different types. So you can send the salami and a package of hot dogs, something like that. That would be okay as long as they're two separate things. If you send two of the same thing, that would be problematic. That's what the poskim point out. That's the Aruch HaShulchan and others. Now, something that comes up in the poskim is, how do you decide, is it shtei manos or not, right? In other words, let's say you send a deli roll, right? I imagine everybody here is familiar with a deli roll, right? So you have the puff pastry, you have the deli, you also have all the condiments inside, but is that considered shtei manos? Or since it's like cooked together, maybe it's only viewed as one thing. What do people have to say? Let's make it a little bit more interactive.
It's one thing.
One thing. You look at it, you call it, so it's one thing, right? So what about, let's say, I don't know if anybody does this, let's say like an egg and cheese at Dunkin' Donuts, something like that, right? You get your egg on a croissant or on a bagel, something like that. So you Mrs. Nadoff, you say it's the same thing? You look at it, it's one item? Or would you say maybe it's different because in Dunkin' Donuts, again, this might not be the most appetizing thing in the world, but I think they zap the egg in the microwave and then they just slap it on your bagel or your croissant. Maybe a deli roll might be different because it's being cooked together, so it has a different name. What do you think about that? Any thoughts?
I don't know. I still think it's the same because when they give it to you, it's already together.
Oh, okay.
If they gave it to you separate, then it would be two separate things.
Okay, good.
No, I don't think so. It's two separate things put together, but it's two separate things.
Okay, good.
Meat and it's bread. So there you are.
So I was talking to a friend earlier. He said maybe it's a din in bracha. I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't see that, at least in some of the places I looked. But you only make a hamotzi on a deli sandwich, right? And so it's like it's one bracha. But then you can come back and say the bracha is not necessarily being koveya. The bracha is not saying how many foods there are, right? We already said you can make one bracha. You have your salami, you have your hot dogs, and still two types of basar, and that's fine as well. What poskim do talk about, Mrs. Weiss, I saw you unmuting yourself. You want to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, your original example was a sandwich also.
Yeah.
But you're saying if you put in a roll and a package of salami and a packet, you know, a little packet of mustard, that's two things because you have to make the sandwich yourself.
Oh.
But if somebody gives you a sandwich, then, you know.
Oh, right. It's like a funny thing. Like when you put on your halachic glasses, how do you view it? I was just on my class just the other week. I remember many of us are familiar with the Greenland. So Morty Greenland, when he was in high school, we used to learn a little bit together on Thursday nights and other times as well. So on Purim, he brought over, and Ad Hayom Hazeh, I still say it's one of the best shalach manoses I've ever received. He brought over a salami from Romanian and like a hoagie roll, a kaiser roll, whatever, and a bottle of mustard. And I said, not just, you know, like on a taste level was it great, but also maybe on a halachic level, that was like the most ideal. It could be used for my suda, and it was perfect. So again, if the sandwich is already made, you're saying it's almost like, what do you mean? What, is that really any different than being handed a giant salami and the roll and you make the sandwich yourself? So maybe yes, maybe not. I think poskim are makel on that. I think I looked at the Aruch HaShulchan beforehand because they really discuss if you have fish that's made with a little bit of, I guess you put like egg yolk or egg white maybe even on top of the fish. I'm not really so clear what the post I'm referring to. Maybe it's almost like an egg wash, right? When you make challah or deli roll, whatever, I guess, or anything else that you use egg for, right? Everyone knows what I'm talking about here. Where you kind of just whatever. So maybe that, the post I'm saying, that wouldn't be viewed as two things, but you have something like a little bit more substantial. You have an egg and cheese, or you have something like that, the egg and cheese with the bagel, or you have a deli roll. Maybe there is room to say that would be two separate things. I was talking to my friend beforehand, and he told me that his parents are very close with Rav Pesach Kron, and every year, Rav Pesach Kron drops off a deli sandwich and a seltzer, or a soda, like a bottle of soda. I mean, he doesn't just give the sandwich. I'm not sure if he's being machmir or careful here, but okay, again, we're just learning Torah. I'm not passing anything. Ask your LOR people actually know what they're talking about. We're just learning a little bit of Torah here and having a good time. Let's continue moving along. With regards to each item, how big does each mana have to be? So the poskim say, the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadam say it should be the size of a davar chashav, meaning it should be substantial. Now, what's considered substantial? So again,
Say
it again.
I said like the size of an egg.
Oh, very good, right? So the Magen Avraham, they talk about, they point out that we have halachic shiurim, we have sizes throughout halacha that we that halacha deems as something significant. So a kazayas or a kibitza, right, the size of an olive, the size of an egg. We know a revius when it comes to liquids, 3.3 fluid ounces. We already spoke about that in the shiurim on Kiddush. However, there's a little bit of machlokas because the Arach HaShulchan paskins that it has to be larger than that. And the reason he says that is because a mane isn't just regular food, but it always implies, let's say, in halacha, a mane yafe, something a little bit more significant and special. And what we call in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Kashrus, this comes up as a chaticha haroi lehiskabed, meaning a piece of food, right? A food item that you would give honor, meaning if someone's coming to your house and you want to honor that person, what's an honorable size, right? You're not going to do in like these tiny little, you know, you take your like cookie cutter shapes of like, okay, you now, this is a kezias, this is a kibitza, here's your 3.3 fluid ounces. It should be a little bit more birevach, we'll call it, right? And because of that, the Arach HaShulchan says it should be a little bit more significant. Lamaisa, I think most of us, when we give our friends food for Shalach Manos, it's going to be larger than a kezias kibitza, you know, I would say 10 times out of 10. Now, can a person be yotze if they send several smaller items? Let's say you say that they don't have, let's say Illinois nut, right? You get one of these like little trays, right? So like or you go to, what's that candy store now on Candy Squared, right? On Tui, right? So they have the four compartments or the six compartments, and it could be that each thing individually is not significant, meaning in terms of sheer, in terms of size, but collectively in the aggregate, they would create something that of a proper shear. Would that be okay? So the Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Daf Zayin tells us that Rabba would send to Mari Bar Mar a basket full of goodies, right? And what was contained in this basket? There were some. It was a what'd you call it? It was like it was dates, right? The Gemara says, Taska de kashba umale kasa kimcha de avshuna. So it was like roasted or dried flour, and it was dates and things like that. And what the post can point out is that the sefer Hisorus Tshuva, sefer of Shilas and Tshuvos, learns from here that your yotze, even if each individual item is not a davar chashuv, but if it's together in a larger basket, you know, they would create a davar chashuv together. What's very interesting, and I think this is important to point out, is that the chashivas of the items are determined and dependent upon the mekabel, meaning the person receiving it. Now, it's really interesting. The Gemara in Megillah, right before this Gemara, at the end of Zayin Amud Aleph, tells us a story. Right? The Gemara tells us that there's a chiyuv of matanos lavyonim and mishloach manos, shei manos li'ish echad. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would send to Rav Oshia, atma de igla tilta vigarba de chamra. So he sent him a leg of a certain type of calf and a jug of wine. So Rav Oshia said back to him, he said, Kiyamta banu rabenu. He says, you've been mekayim, you fulfilled the mitzvah of mishloach manos ish l'reyehu umatanos le'evyonim. Now, if I ask you, why does he say that entire thing? So you might, meaning when I say the entire thing, why is he saying you fulfilled mishloach manos ish l'reyehu and matanos le'evyonim? So you might say, well, he's just quoting the pasuk from the Megillah and it's nothing to write home about. But Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ritva both pick up on this. And they say it's a little bit interesting. It must have been that he sent him something initially that he didn't want to use for his suda. Rav Oshia wasn't into that item. And because of that, he must have sent back, like, I don't like this, or you weren't Makayim, you just letting you know you didn't fulfill your chiyuv of Mishloach Manos. So he sent back a leg of a cow, and he sent back the wine, and then he sends back, oh, now if you've been Makayim, the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. That's how the Ritva also understands the Gemara. And the Ritva has a very important line. He says, Shelo haisa yikara hatshura be'inov. The Ritva says it must have been that the gift was not precious or special, let's say, in the eyes of Rav Oshia, the one who is receiving the Mishloach Manos. So Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky explains, based on this line of the Ritva, that the chashivas of the item is determined by the recipient. Now, the Yerushalmi also has a very similar Gemara, and this is quoted in the Ber Halacha. So we know, just a little background, I like doing my class a lot, Right? The Chafetz Chaim wrote many, many, many Sfarim. On the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a commentary, the Mishnah Berurah, that's what we're pretty familiar with, where he kind of collects many of the opinions of many of the poskim. And in the Ber Halacha, he usually breaks down the halachos that he's talking about in a little bit more of a substantial fashion. He gets into the mechanics of the halachos very often. Now it happens to be, it's not such a long Ber Halacha, but he quotes the Chaye Adam, who notes this Yerushalmi, who also tells a story of someone not being Mekabel, let's say a insignificant, or what he deemed as insignificant, gift as Shalach Manos. He says, this isn't good for me. So I just want to read you the Lashon here. He says, Im Sholeach La'ashir Davar Pachos, Eino Yotze Bezem Mishloach Manos. If you send to someone something that is not so nice, a Davar Pachos, so you do not fulfill your Mishloach Manos. So if I was to send, I don't know wine very much at all, but if I were to send a bottle of, I don't know, Bartanura, right? I think everybody likes Bartanura, the blue bottle, right? And you send it to some connoisseur, fine schmecker, whatever it is, and I think it tastes great, and he's like, what is this stuff? You know, that's not wine. You call this wine? This is ridiculous. So maybe I'm not Mekayim Mishloach Manos at all. And he quotes the Ritva, and he says, this is also the opinion of the Ritva. And he says, Achein shar poskim lo hiskiru davar zeh. He says, poskim don't necessarily note this. V'nachon lizer kezeh bezeh lichatchila. Even though poskim don't necessarily quote this Yerushalmi, he says it's proper, it's best to be careful for this. I have a friend who's been a Rebbe for a very long time. He's older than I am. And we were he asked me if I get Shalach Manos for my students. So I said, no, not all of them. Some yes, some no, whatever. One, I was telling him that a boy brought me over a few years ago. It was like a mug with like a Danish inside and like some instant coffee packs. The whole question of instant coffee counts as Shalach Manos or not. But I told the boy, I was so happy because I use the mug almost every day and whatever, fine, it was a very nice thing. So this guy told me, this Rebbe told me when he was growing up, his mother always sent him with like a babka or a kugel, and he went to his moras, and he went to his rebbeim, and he went to his teachers, and he would drop off one of these things, and it was like, it was hakaras hatov to his teachers. So he was telling me that a boy dropped off like a water bottle with like a dum-dum taped to it. So he's like, this is ridiculous. So, you know, for a long time I thought it was ridiculous also, but I was learning this halacha and I was going through it in, you know, the past week preparing the shiur a little bit. And I said, no, maybe in the kid's eyes, the dum-dum's geschmack, he loves dum-dum, and maybe the kid doesn't like, I don't know, there are kids who don't like carbonated drinks or anything like that, right? So he likes water, he likes his lollipop, so he figured, this is what I like, I'm going to give it to my Rebbe. But the Rebbe, you know, is a little bit of an older person. He said, like, a water bottle and a lollipop, that's like silly. So again, to be melamed tzchus on the boy, that's what the boy liked, but maybe the boy was didn't know this Yerushalmi, didn't know the Ber Halacha, and even though the Ber Halacha says that we should be careful to make sure that it's, you know, the beauty is in the eye of the receiver in this case, right, of the Mekabel, of the Mishloach Manos, so maybe the boy was being so much where the Ber Halacha says, Shar Poskim, don't quote it. Okay, fine, that's a little bit in terms of beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Again, we said you can give wine, that's what the Gemara already says, the Rambam, and while beverages are okay for Manos, so water is not okay. If you send a water bottle in your Mishloach Manos, that does not count as one of the Manos, which is based on the Gemara in Irvin. The Gemara in Irvin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis is talking about what are the things, what type of food can you use to make an Iruv, right? So in the Wayu Kolo, we would often teach about Irvin. I was always learning when we were teaching it because I knew nothing about Irvin. But very often, one of the big things people think an Erev is like the string that goes around the city. There's always food involved in Erev, because as Jews, and not just Jews, but all people, right? Food is what brings people together. So I think in West Rogers Park, the Erev is really located in Yeshurun, meaning there's always like a box of matzah and probably like a jar of gefilte fish or something like that, something that people can use for food. And I think in Skokie, it's in Or Torah behind the Aron Kodesh. There's matzah, and then there's like a jar, again, of gefilte fish or something like that that people can eat. Food is what brings people together. Says the Gemara that all food is fine. It doesn't matter as long as it's not water or salt. Those do not count as food. That would not be okay. There are poskim who say that seltzer is considered water, and you cannot be yotze one of the manos in your Mishloach Manos with seltzer. I did not look into that enough. I was curious if, you know, I feel like Bismanazeh, it's more than just like Ber Mayim Chaim or, you know, just like carbonated plain flavored seltzer. I feel like LaCroix, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and all the other types of seltzers that we have now may be a little bit different. I'm not sure. Ask your LOR, or just give two other things in your Shalach Manos also and you'll be okay. Any questions up until here before we continue?
I'm
about grape juice? A bottle of grape juice?
Grape juice is fine. Grape juice is great. Grape juice definitely counts. Yeah.
Do two kinds of dried fruit count as two different foods?
That's a good question. I think...
Dried fruit.
I would imagine because they're two fruits, right? We view them as two separate fruits. If you gave an apple and an orange, right? Apples and oranges. There you go. Right? That's where the phrase comes from. It's come from Shalach Manos, right? Two apples. I actually did see this in the post game. A red apple and a green apple would not be okay. But an apple and an orange presumably would be okay. So your dried fruit. Again, I would imagine you're not just giving one dried apricot and one prune, but it would be a couple and that would equal a shear. Hold on, let me just see. I got one here. As a teacher that gives to her class, do I need to give a certain amount? I usually give a candy and cookies. That's a good question. It could be that, again, I don't know how old your class is, but I would imagine for kids that's probably a davar chashuv, it's probably geschmack. Although you can say, you might make the case that a candy might be a little small. But at the same time, I would imagine you're probably giving, you know, at least one other family or person besides just your students. Maybe not. I don't know. If it's just your students, I would make sure you give one kid a little bit more than just a single candy to make sure that it's above the right shear. That's if you're asking me what I would do in that situation. Make sure that one person gets like a full shear, because I would imagine one candy, a piece of bazooka, something like that, it's probably less than a kazayas. But that's what I would say there. Again, once you're yotze, your initial chiyuv of shalach manos, and everything else is just like a riboy, and it just makes it better, right? When I was in YU, even when I was in Shalvim, actually, so I learned with my chavrusa, Mark Palayoff. He's now a Rebbe in Ish Gesher in Israel. He's a great guy. And we used to learn, this is totally not because I was frum, it's because Mark pushed me a lot, but we used to daven vasikin every Purim. We did this, I think, for 4 years. We'd daven vasikin. We'd go across the street. When we were in Israel, we went to the Makolet. When we were in YU, we went to like the bagel shop across the street. And we would buy each other breakfast. So I'd buy him like a muffin and chocolate milk or a coffee. And we would basically do the same. We'd give it to one another. That was our shalach manos. And then after, like the rest of the day, whoever you give anything. So then that's just the riboy simcha, and it's great. But you've already, you know, taken care of your chiv of mishalach manos. That's also something, you know, it's funny. I saw also a quote in the postgame. That spices and condiments do not count as mishloach manos. They don't count as a mana for shalach manos. And I was thinking, like, what does that mean? Who sends condiments or who sends spices? But then, I moved to Chicago, and Baruch Hashem, we got the Skokie Yeshiva shalach manos package. Now, I see there are many screens that are not on, and I'm assuming everybody's cracking up right now, because I'm laughing, because I think it's hilarious. But that's fine if no one's laughing with me. But in the Skokie Yeshiva Shalach Manos, they send the most bizarre sauces and all these different things. It's like wild what we get in there, right? I think everybody looks forward. I think that's like a Simcha and Purim to see like what exactly they sent you. Anyway, the point is though, I would have never thought anything of it, but then I saw in the postgame they quote that condiments are not okay. Sending a bottle of ketchup that doesn't count as Shalach Manos, or one of the mana for Shalach Manos, that's what I mean, spices as well. The Magen Avram quotes the Ma'aril, who says, you're not Yotze if you send raw foods that can only be eaten cooked. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. But that's where this comes from. Condiments.
If you send fruit that's not cooked, apple or an orange.
Right. Oh, but those are raw. They're ready to be eaten right now. Right? So you can have a raw apple is not, you know, most people eat raw apples. Raw meat is a little bit different. Right? So we'll talk about the how edible a food needs to be in just a little bit. But we learned from that halacha, the Magen Avraham, that condiments and spices aren't considered foods. Most people aren't going to have like a spoonful of mustard or ketchup for dinner. And that's where that halacha is learned from. Similarly, sending gluten-full foods to a celiac, right? Does that count as shalach manos? Right? My sister's not on the Zoom tonight. She would have liked this one. I have a few students in the past couple years who also are gluten-free. The question is, if you gave someone gluten-full food, would that count as shalach manos? So the post can point out if there are other people in the house who can eat the food, so you can use it towards the general Purim Suda, then it would be okay. Now, just getting back to the discussion of whether or not foods need to be cooked and ready to be eaten, so we already saw, or we already noted, I should say, the Magen Avraham says it needs to be cooked and ready to go. And that's how several poskim paskin as well. The Gro, the Chai Adam, the El Yoraba, many poskim paskin like that it needs to be fully cooked. There are those who say that raw chicken is okay, because as long as it's shechted, it's considered a davar muchan, meaning all you need to do is pop it in the oven and it's ready to go. So it shouldn't, it's not such a big deal. And there are those who paskin like that, the Taz, the Prima Gadim, and others. But really, the Mishnah Berura paskins in Sifkatan Chaf that ideally the food should be cooked and ready to be eaten. He says, b'di'evit, if it's not, it is okay. He says, he quotes a Yesh Omrim. He says, there are those who say that since it's shechted, it's you can just cook it and it's fine. But l'chadchila, Mishnah Berura, Archa Shulchan say that it really should be cooked, right? I feel like that's maybe a little bit, again, maybe food, maybe meat is different than milchiks. But I remember when I was younger, someone dropped off at my parents' house like a, it was like a pie of pizza that you basically pop in the oven. Besides getting to the questions, is that mana echad or, you know, multiple minim, if you count the sauce and count the cheese and whatever it is, fine. But besides all that, I was just interested, it was, you know, it dawned on me as I was preparing the shiur, I wonder what you would say about pizza, and maybe it doesn't take so long to cook, so maybe it's already closer to a dover, something that's already cooked. Okay, fine, just putting it out there, food for thought. No pun intended. I had to say that. It's a Rebbe joke, you know. I had to say it. Anyway.
I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'm wondering. Let's use a Skokie Ship example. I know they have some bizarre things like sauces or whatever, spicy. But then they do have things that you can eat that are ready.
Yeah.
So because, you know, they have things that are ready, so that could be okay then in your shallot.
Absolutely.
Know, right? Because they have other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Meaning.
Ignore those that are not okay.
1,000%. Right. Yeah, so 1,000%. As long as you get your two minim in there, so then you can, you know, throw in whatever you want, right? So, like, when I was younger, we used to, let's say we used to do, like, a cinnamon bun and, like, one of those, like, Starbucks Frappuccino thingies or something like that, right? So, and then, I don't know, my sister would, like, sprinkle in, like, a Hershey's Kiss or, like, one of these small, like, a lot, whatever, all those things. That's all nice, you know? But once you get your two minim in, as long as you get your ikker, the two items, so then you're good to go. There is a discussion as to whether or not women are obligated in Mishloach Manos. The Rama, again, right there, tells us that women are obligated. They have to send Mishloach Manos. And that's what the Gra Paskin's like as well. Now, the Magen Avraham says that he doesn't see women doing this, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, growing up, I saw women bring Shloach Manos, my sisters, my mom, everything like that. But the Pri Chadash says it's based on the Pasuk. It says, Mishloach Manos ish l're'ehu. And he says it must be that it's ish and not an isha, not a woman. But the Shari Tshuva doesn't like that. The Shari Tshuva writes, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, no, first of all, you can get into the Afin Hayuba Osonis. Women were also included in the miracle. Not just included. Esther played, you know, the most significant role in the miracle. And not just that, the Megillah says that Kiblu HaYehudim, right? All the Jewish people, you know, basically accepted upon themselves the holiday of Purim and everything that comes with it. So therefore, he writes that, no, of course, it's going to apply both to men and women. And again, this is how the Rama paskins, and that is how we are noheg, both men and women are obligated. There is a discussion if it needs to be given al yidei shliach, right? So this actually works out if you do the Skokie Yeshiva deal, right? There is a discussion. It says mishloach monos. I think it's already the Mishnah Berurah tells us, he wonders, if you're Yotze, Shalach Manos, if you don't send it with a Shliach. He quotes at the very beginning of Sif Katan Yidches, B'tshuvas binyan tzion simen mem dalav nistapik im hevi ba'atzmo hamanos. If you bring it over yourself, v'lo al yidei Shliach I Yotze. Are you fulfilling your chiyav of Mishloach Manos if you don't do it with a messenger? Kevan dechsiv u'mishloach. So Nema Debain and Dafka Aidei Shlichos. He says maybe you would actually need to do it through a shliach. He doesn't paskin like that. So that's just a discussion in the poskim as well. So that's a little bit with regards to Mishloach Manos. What I want to end off with is the, I would say this is the classic chakira within the world of Mishloach Manos, right? So a chakira is a way we distinguish and basically break down and understand a certain concept in learning, right? So in the base measures, they call us a chakira. The classic example, when I learn with my class, we introduce a chakira, is, let's say you have a car. The concept is a car. So there are two ways to look at a car. Is it an electric car, or is it like a gas car, gas power? And the nafka mina, the practical difference would be, well, how does it run? Do you have to charge it overnight, or do you have to put gas in it, right? So there's in Shabbos there are many chakiras. A classic chakira in the world of Hilchos Shabbos is hutra or dechuya. When, let's say, you're being mechalel Shabbos for something, right? So, pikuach nefesh, sekanas nefoshos, you drive an ambulance for Hatzalah. So, at a moment, where you're technically speaking allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, do we view Shabbos as Dechuya? Is it pushed off? Or is it Hutra? Is it, for all intents and purposes, not considered Shabbos? So these are ways to kind of break it down. When it comes to the world of Mishloach Manos, so the Chakir is the following. The Sefer Manos HaLevi, which is a commentary on the Megillah, written by Rav Shlomo Alkibitz, who also wrote the Chadodi, says the nature of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to be marba shalom bein ish v'ish. We want to increase the ava and the acha shalom v'reyus amongst Klal Yisrael, and it's all about developing, cultivating, enhancing those relationships, whereas the Trumas Hadeshen says the mitzvah is to facilitate a suda. For people who need a suda, you want to provide food so that they have what to eat at the Purim suda. So the Trumas Hadeshen was asked if one can send clothing to be yotze his chiv mishloach manos. And he said, well, we don't eat clothing. And since we don't eat clothing, it's not going to count for mishloach manos. But if you assume, like the Manos HaLevi, if you assume, like Rav Shlomo Alkibetz, well, you know, getting clothing would be great. I don't mind getting a new shirt, a new sweater, whatever it is. That'd be fantastic. And because of that, maybe you would fulfill your chiv of mishloach manos. My Rebbe in YU, one of my Rebbeim, Rav David Hirsch, who's actually a Skokie Yeshiva alum, always gives the shir Erev Purim. He loves the shir, and he gives a million chakiros. He gives a million, he says, nafkaminas to this question. We'll just go through a handful of them, and some of them we already mentioned. So first of all, can a person give clothing? Another question is, can a person give mishloach manos anonymously? Right, so how would that work out? If you assume that it's all about the relationship, well, it's hard to, you know, develop a relationship with someone who you don't know just gave you a gift, right? There's no, it's like you get to the door and they didn't, you don't know who it's from, right? So would you be mekayim your chiv mishloach manos unless you assume like a Trumas Hadeshen, and it doesn't matter. It's not about the relationship. It's about having, he's more practical. Do you have food now? And he would say that that is okay. The Ramah tells us that one is able to be mochel mishloach manos. If I show up to your door and I bring this beautiful basket, right? And you say, oh, I have so much food, I can't take it. You know, Pesach's coming in 30 days. I don't want to bring anything to the house. So would that be okay? So if you assume, you know, like the Manos HaLevi, that it's all about fostering a relationship, so then that would be fine because there's no hard feelings. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I just don't need it right now, but I really appreciate the gesture. Whereas the Trumas Hadeshen would say, no, because if the person's being mochel, so then you didn't get the food. And practically speaking, you're missing out on that. There is a discussion, you know, more broad than just clothing, but what can one give? If you hold like the Trumas Hadeshen, it's pretty limited to food. If you hold like the Manos HaLevi, then it can be really anything. An interesting discussion brought down is also whether or not there is a bracha on Mishloach Manos. Now, in general, why don't we make brachos? Let's say like this. The Rashba has a tshuva, a well-known tshuva, where he discusses not making a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. And he says, because the person can be mochel. I remember one time, I vividly remember being in Beth Abraham in Bergenfield, New Jersey. And I think I was in high school. I may have been even younger. I remember Dafka, where I was sitting. There was a mashulach walking around shul during Ashur Velatzion. He had, you know, his pushka, whatever it was, and a guy gave him a quarter or a couple quarters, and he wouldn't take it. He refused to take the money, and he said he wants, you know, you can give me a dollar, you can give me bills, I don't want to take your change. And I was blown away by that on so many different levels, but that's how you don't make a bracha on tzedakah. That's how you don't make a bracha on many mitzvahs bein on l'chaveiro, says the Rashba. Imagine a person says, you go to the hospital to visit your friend. So you say, you walk in there, and the person's sleeping. Right? You go to bring your parent, I don't know, a cup of water, I don't know, a bottle of soda, whatever it is, and you're about to walk into the living room, you shakul, you make a bracha, you walk in there, and you know, your father's sleeping on the lazy boy chair, right? So you didn't do anything, right? Because you might miss out on the opportunity, the person could be mochel, we don't make a bracha. However, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal points out, but what about this Ramah, the Ramah that we just learned a moment ago, that says you can be mochel, and it would still be okay. So in the case of the tzedakah, the ani says, I don't want it. You bring your parent a drink, and he says, I don't want it, right? Well, in the world of Mishloach Manos, the Ramah says, if a person is mochel, you're still good. So then maybe we should be making a bracha. So this is more of like a discussion in the world of brachos, but it's, I think it's important to mention nonetheless. The Rambam tells us that there's no bracha on any mitzvah beinan al chavira. And the reason for this is because a bracha is really in order to help prime us for a mitzvah. Right? You want to get in the right mindset. But priming shouldn't be necessary for a mitzvah beinan al chavira. It should be natural. Our knee-jerk reaction should be to help other Jews, and because of that, there is no bracha. Additionally, Rav Scheinberg notes that there's no bracha on, he calls it, on, there's no bracha on bitul chametz. Or your mavatel, your chametz, right? You say ko chamir, but there's no bracha on that. And the reason is because it's done in our minds. It's all b'machshava, right? There's no bracha on the mitzvah of Avas Hashem or Yir Shemayim or V'haftar Echa Kamocha, anything like that, because it's not tangible. So something that's not tangible, if it doesn't have a maisa, it doesn't have an action associated with it, so it's not going to get a bracha. And if we assume that, like the Manos Alevi, right, that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to enhance our relationships with other Jews, so therefore it wouldn't get a bracha because it's not tangible. So I thought that was also a nice idea. We already mentioned expensive but raw meat, right? So that'll take a long time to cook, let's say. So it won't be ready for your suda. Manos Alevi would say it's fine, whereas the Trimas Hadeshim would say that's not okay. This is a fun one. Well, first, we already mentioned a celiac, right? If you bring, this could really cut both ways, actually. But if you bring gluten-full food to your celiac friend, so it could be that people at the table, other people in our family would have what to eat. I'm not sure if you're going to enhance your relationship with your friend who is a celiac or gluten-free if you bring them, you know, all sorts of mizonos and hamotzi and things like that. I'm not sure that would be so appreciated. And then just to end, let's say you want to be mekayim the din of shliach, right? Like the Mishnah already said. So it's best maybe even to send your mishloach manos with a shliach. So you send your, I don't know, I'll speak for myself. I send my little brother, right, to go bring when I'm younger, right? And he's even younger. So I send him to bring Mishloach Manos to the neighbor, and he's walking up the steps, and he trips up the steps and drops it all on the floor, right? Mishloach Manos spill, shatters, done, kaput. So what happens? They open the door, and they see my brother there sitting on the steps. The food's all over the place. Or you Mekayim Mishloach Manos. So if you assume, like what? The Trumas Hadeshen. So then you wouldn't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Why? Because the food's on the floor. You're not going to put that on your table. You're not going to serve that at the Suda. But if you want, but if you assume like the Manos Alevi, so your friend sees that you tried, they appreciate the gesture, and because of that, maybe you were Mekayim the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. One last thing to mention, I saw this right before the shiur, so I don't know this too much, but it was something I wanted to look into, is let's say you send the Mishloach Manos before Purim. I live in someone's house who is involved. I bought a house. I live in my own house, Baruch Hashem, but I bought a house from someone who's very involved in nursing homes, and I didn't know this, but the first Purim we moved in, we were getting tons of packages from all his vendors all over. They were sending him like Purim Mishloach Manos. And they were coming like the entire week. So every other night I was texting him, you have like 3 packages to pick up. You know, last year I texted him, listen, I've been living in the house for like 3-4 years. If I get another package, I'm like, especially if it says perishables, I'm opening up, I'm eating it on Purim. Just letting you know? But the question is like this, and this happens not just for vendors, but let's say parents who have kids in seminaries or yeshivas. So there are different ways to send Mishloach Manos to your children, things like that. So are you able to be Mekayim Mishloach Manos by sending someone Mishloach Manos and it gets there before Purim? That's the question. If it gets there before Purim or the night of Purim, you give someone, you're going to see them only in Shua, Megillah reading at night, but not during the day, and you give them Mishloach Manos, are you Mekayim your Mishloach Manos? That's a machlokus in the postgame, because the Ramah tells us that Yish Lishloach Manos Bayom Velo Balayla. You're not supposed to give Mishloach Manos at night, and the same thing is true with Matanos Lavyonim. And there are those who point out that what? That the reason we're concerned for that is because you might eat it beforehand. Right? So if you send someone the Mishloach Manos, it gets there 2 days before Purim. It gets there before Tanis Esther. So you're going to have that for your pre-fast Seuda or something like that. So then it doesn't count as Mishloach Manos because it didn't reach Purim. And then within that Shita, maybe you say, if you leave it over until Purim comes, so then maybe it would count. But then again, there's this concern. Don't send it beforehand because it's not going to get there, or the food's not going to be in existence, let's say, on Purim itself. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, and he says a little bit differently. He says you need to give Mishloach Manos on Purim itself. You can't send it earlier, because he says, Ikir HaMishloach Manos Havei Mishum Simcha Ve'iza Simcha Hilo Ata Ma Sheshalach Mikodem. Meaning, Shalach Manos is all about cultivating a certain what? You're trying to foster a certain relationship. But that's supposed to happen on Purim itself. So if I send you something 3 days before or a week before Purim, so now comes Purim, how are we, you know, strengthening that relationship right now? Right? So, and again, this I think really all relates to this machlokas, Trumas Hadeshen and Manos Alevi, what the nature of Mishloach Manos is. Is it a din in fostering a relationship, or is it a din in having Suda present on Purim? So those are a little bit of background on Mishloach Manos. And that's it for tonight. I hope everyone enjoyed, and hope we see each other again next week, where we'll be learning about the halachos of Matanos Le'avyonim. Everybody have a fantastic evening.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Can I-